I've just had a brilliant example of what Morris and I are going to be talking about. So let's just pop him back on and see if he's there. Hello, Morris, are you there? Hello, Morris, are you there? Well, look, I'll tell you what, I'll play a couple more minutes of music because this is fantastic. What happened is my super advanced Wi-Fi just went red light as I'm about to open the microphone to talk to Morris. And we will be talking in just a couple of minutes about technology that in its 1.0 incarnation no longer exists. Well, I think our Wi-Fi is soon to make that list. Back with you in just a second, and Morris.
It had a song that mowed the lawn.
I tell you what, we'll come back to Of Monsters and Men because it's a long song and it's a brilliant song, but I'm just quite tickled to get Morris back. That was amazing, right? I'm just about ready to talk to you and it went stop. So we don't really need to talk about anything today, do we, Morris?
No, we don't. It's almost like the technology did its own introduction.
Well, one of the things on the list today was, of course, the 56K modem. We're talking about things that are brilliant, but in their first shape, don't exist anymore. Morris, how long before the good old Wi-Fi that we have now joins that list, do you think?
Hopefully relatively quick. I mean, we're up to, based on what we've just had.
That was incredible. It just went doink off.
Yeah, it did. I thought it was something I said. Now, we're up to Wi-Fi 6 is the protocol at the moment, and we're working on Wi-Fi 7, which doesn't directly answer your question, but what it does answer is that people, technology and all sorts of technologists believe that there's still a lot of life left in Wi-Fi.
Mm.
Wi-Fi 7 will be much faster. I mean, it's the usual thing, you know, faster, swifter, all that kind of stuff, but there's interesting variations on it, which are still in the can, so to speak.
A more durable Wi-Fi. That wouldn't be so messed up by atmospherics, for instance.
Yeah, but remember how extraordinary Wi-Fi was? Before then, we were doing cabling. And cabling was pretty much it. I honestly remember when I built this home 28 years ago, I tried to get Wi-Fi into the house, and my computer guy, who I loved desperately, called Dennis, told me not to bother. You know, it was just impossible, not going to work, and we literally coaxed cabled the entire house.
Well, they don't switch off, do they, unless...
Well, no, coax cable, I mean, we haven't used for a long time. We turned off, we got all the points in all the rooms with it. But to the point, you know, in the early 90s, Wi-Fi really wasn't seen as being anything serious.
Yeah.
And it was still all about cabling. And today, very few people have physical cable. I know in offices and things we still use it because it's robust. We have CAT and all that kind of stuff. But most of us really are about Wi-Fi. It's a robust technology. I think it's still got a long way to go. But there's interesting variations, as we were saying. There's something called Li-Fi, which is a technology that allows you to send Wi-Fi, as we know it, Wi-Fi through light. So as long as there's light in a building, we're talking about, you know, electronic light, not sun or anything else. As long as electronic...
There's always an Achilles heel with these things. I think that surely would be...
And there has to be. I mean, there relatively has to be. You know, the old courier pigeon might have been another one.
Yeah.
You know, talking about technology that used to be good and no longer is. So there's always stuff that we can still invent. But I think Wi-Fi has got a few years left in it.
It is very interesting, though, because, you know, we've just gone 2 years or more with people doing Zoom calls and everything. Can you hear me? No, yes. Can you hear me? Fiddle, tweak. It's still, when it's great, when it's good, it's very, very good. And when it's bad, it's horrid.
Yeah, it is. Because when it's good, we take it for granted and we just think it is. And when it's horrible, we realize that this thing really isn't as sophisticated as we had hoped it was. And it's imperfect. A perfect example of that, going back to old technology, something that I love and I reminisce with my audiences a lot about, I think I put it into nearly every presentation, is that wonderful sound going back to the late 80s, early 90s of the modem. Do you remember the dial-up modem?
I do indeed.
For many of our listeners, I think that we can all hear it inside of our head, that thing, and that tweeting noise, which is not Twitter, but that tweeting noise that came at the end of it, that connecting noise, and then that horrible noise when it fell out and you had to redial again.
Yep.
Phone bills were extraordinary in those days, meaning that you kept dialing in, and every one of those dial-ups, of course, cost you money. And you were dialing and dialing forever. And in comparison,
we're listening to one now, Morris. You can't hear it, I don't think.
No,
I just put that in there. Sorry, mate.
And in comparison to today, the stuff we were downloading or uploading took forever and really wasn't of much. I mean by that that now we download a movie, we don't think twice. You know, we complain if it's not there in about 3 seconds.
Yeah.
If it was at all possible in the dial-up days of the 80s and 90s, that would have taken us hours, half a day perhaps, or longer.
All right.
So it's been impossible anyway.
So where? Oh, by the way, before we leave this one, what about the Ethernet thing that we watch TV on? That's grown up, similar technology, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So the Ethernet really is the coax cable of today.
Right.
What it allows us to do. And it's used mostly in offices, but some homes do have them as well. And it is the physical. You know, for many people, it is either a blue or a yellow cord. Used to be blue and it's kind of migrating to yellow now. It's got the plug-in at the back of your modem, at the back of your PC or television or whatever else, and the other bit goes into the wall normally or into the modem.
Let's talk about some things that we may have forgotten, and they are the kind of things that if you go to a groovy junk shop in St Kilda or Camden Town, you might find. The portable television. That's an obvious one.
Oh, that was incredible. That, again, was like God had come to Earth. You know, the box until then was something big. It was robust, and it was something the whole family watched together.
Mind you, the screen was about the same size, however big the cab was.
Yeah, the screen was always small, and if you went back far enough, I remember this because we had one. I mean, not because I was there when we bought it or used it, but some of them actually had a record player attached to them, and they were quite a big piece of furniture.
Indeed.
Record player, radio, all that stuff built into one. It was normally made of wood or some kind of wood.
And that was a trend, Morris, turning this stuff into furniture, which I don't believe is the case anymore.
It still is. Just, there's still a lot of nostalgia turning it into bars and things. You often see them around having been reconverted to something else. And the really interesting thing is that I've seen quite a few now that are actually converted back into television sets. So they've been brought back into and recommissioned. What you're finding now is a really strong nostalgia hit, which is what kind of started this topic today, that many people, many baby boomers now are kind of reliving their youth. They have a bit of money behind them, they have a bit of nostalgia behind them, and they're going out looking for all of these old things that they had. Many of them are being repurposed or, you know, made a bit modern or purposeful. But also, on the other hand, you find that, as I love to call them, the young'uns, the generation A and Y and Z, who have never obviously been brought up with these things, but are loving them. And vinyl's a really good example of that.
Yeah. I was talking with somebody this morning about music rights and stuff like this, and I'm wondering, well, a lot. Let's put it this way, a lot of bands put vinyl onto their rider, if you like. They figure in vinyl. It's not just CDs, etc. anymore. Of course, there's a heck of a lot of online stuff that they don't get paid for, which makes them angry, but vinyl is back.
It is. It's making a really big comeback. Record stores, as I used to call them, we used to call them in the old days, are also making a comeback, and not just selling nostalgia, not just selling albums, as you said rightly, you know, from 20, 30 years ago, but selling them now new bands and new artists.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we've got a ton of really good, like, indie bands, local bands here in Hong Kong. I reckon every single one of them puts in for a good 1,500 vinyls of whatever they put out.
And likewise, I mean, the obvious next step of that, Phil, is that record players have come back in a big way too. So it was difficult to find them for a very long time, and you could find them again secondhand. But now you find new ones in a lot of electronic stores and online as well. Yeah. So that's made a comeback. I also read an interesting article. I'm not quite sure why, but I mean, I don't know why I read it. I don't know what started it.
Yeah.
Is that cassettes are making a comeback.
What did the cassette provide us with then kind of died, and then provided us with, you know, son of?
Well, the cassette player, going back to its heyday, the 80s or so, was a really portable way of carrying music around with us.
Yep.
And we could forward, you know, we could go forward, we can go backwards, we could stop, we could re-listen, we could do all of that, and we could take it with us. And you paired that with something like the Walkman that, you know, if it was going to play properly, had to be yellow. I don't know why, but, you know, many of the ones had to be yellow.
They did.
You take the two of those together, the cassette and the Walkman, and you had an entirely new way of listening to music. Before then, it was the boombox.
It was.
You actually had to put a quite a large piece of equipment on you, you know, on your shoulder, or carry it with you on a strap,
the bass
or something.
Player from Kool and the Gang. Yeah.
Yeah. All those kind of things. But then you had the cassette tape, you had the Walkman. Of course, the Walkman went into the CD players, but its earliest guise was a cassette. So it's making a comeback. It was also used not just for music, but also to store to store information in its early days too.
Yes. Well, I think the other thing that I've just realised, all the stuff we're talking about now that people laugh at, they were disruptors, weren't they?
Oh, that in their day they were incredible. You know, the VHS was you know the big cassette tape. I know they were different. One was for video and one was for music. But the VHS was also that phenomenon.
Beta was apparently better quality wise.
Well, apparently yes. I mean, I don't think there's any apparent about it. It was a better system.
Okay.
But and that's a good example of marketing. You know, it just didn't sell, even though it was a better system. The VHS became everywhere, and it became the dominant form. Mm. But what you had there was exactly the same thing as cassettes that we take for granted now, that for the first time ever, we could not watch something at the time it was played on television.
Yeah.
We could record it and we could come back and we could watch it whenever we wanted to, and that was phenomenal. You know, we take it so for granted now because we have our Netflix and 50 other stands and whatever else is around that we can watch it any time. This really changed the paradigm. It shifted the paradigm of television.
Was it the beginning of the end of television as they'd known it?
Well, it was the beginning of the end of centralised television.
Yes.
Absolutely. Centralised television being that the show was on at 7 p.m. or 9 p.m. or whatever. You sat down with the family because usually there's only one box in a home. You sat down with the family, everybody watched it. If you didn't watch it, you missed it. And everybody next morning at work talked about it and you had no idea what
it's
they were
incredible.
Saying.
Incredible. You know, Morris, there's one piece of technology that really has put Hong Kong where it is today. And people are going to laugh when I say this, but it was a piece of telephony. It had no delay in delivery. The network didn't get overloaded and there were no dead zones. And of course, I'm talking about the pager.
Yeah, absolutely love the pager. I carried one for quite a while.
The pager
was a little device that you clipped onto your belt or wore, in, you know, put in your purse or something else. It had a very small screen on it, and in the very early incarnations of pagers, there was only numbers, and between 0 and 9 were the only thing that you could send across on the pager. It usually came with a service, so the person that wanted you would have to phone into an operator, and they would give them a phone number, and that would then be sent to your pager, which would go ding, 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 and you would then look for a phone because there weren't phones. You would look for a phone to be able to phone somebody to figure out what it was that they wanted from you.
Yeah, before we spend our last 2 or 3 minutes together in the future, which is your stick after all, I think the granddaddy of incredible enabling technology came from the 1870s. It was, of course, the typewriter.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, a big nostalgia, really a big nostalgia back for typewriters. It was quite extraordinary because what that did is exactly like we described for television, for cassettes and everything else. It made writing portable.
Yeah.
Now, it was extraordinary. Again, we have to remember that many people in those days were illiterate, so there are only a few people that could use it. But it was a piece of technology that allowed us to actually put information down in a format that could be sent, could be moved across the world, could have all kinds of things. It was quite extraordinary.
It was indeed. All right, Morris, put your Mystic Meg hat on for a second. Anything that we have today that you think is going to disappear, but without which something down the line will not happen?
Yeah, I think the mobile phone that we're all using, the cell phone or whatever, is going to disappear. It'll be one of those wonderful relics. You know, it would seem terrific at its time, but why the hell did we ever need it?
Okay, so what comes next? Because it's not a telephone.
Next?
It's not a phone anymore,
is
it?
No, it's actually the opposite of what it is, because the mobile phone that we have now brought everything together, literally. So it was a phone. It was, you could watch television on it, you could record on it, you could listen to music. I mean, everything is possible in this little device instead of 12 or 14 different ones.
Yep.
I think we're going back the opposite way. What we'll have is ambient technology, which is technology around us, and we'll just be able to hear. We'll use earphones. We'll use all kinds of things, speakers and whatever else, wherever we are, to be able to hear and listen. We just won't need the mobile phone in the way we do. And you know, strangely enough, the least used feature on
is
the mobile
phone
is the phone. Yeah.
I mean, we even use things like WhatsApp for calls. Why is that? Is it just easier? I think it's easier, but I don't know why.
I do too. I think it's also a generational thing. It seems to be the generations below baby boomers are more comfortable typing and sending messages that way, quite quick information backwards and forwards, rather than having a conversation that takes a bit of time.
Mm.
It's a totally different way of communicating. So I'm fairly sure by the end of this decade that the mobile phone still be around, but not as necessary as it is now. And for many people, it already isn't as necessary as it once was.
Has it had a detrimental effect on the children, whereby they just don't make calls and they're weirded out when somebody calls them? But I get weirded out when somebody
That's a really interesting question because I debate that all the time. I think it's really a generational response to how we communicate. I think it's just as simple as that. That it suited us to talk on the phone for our generations. It doesn't suit them as much now. Rather quick information sent backwards.
I'll tell you what else has put paid to this, Maurice, spam calls. I think it's put more of the lid, put it on tighter when it comes to telephony.
Yeah. Look, I assume that it's the same in Hong Kong, but we are inundated in Australia with spam. The government's trying to close it down. Yeah. Our telecommunications are doing all kinds of filters to avoid it. But it's the same with text messaging. You get lots of those things that you didn't ask for, don't know where they're coming from.
I think that's another chat for us. It's nearly time to say goodbye, but it's really interesting. You know, it's like massive trawling. Your hit rate is going to be 0.00 whatever percent, but that's going to be huge on a world level, isn't it?
Yeah, it will.
All right, Maurice, let's leave it there. Thanks, as always, Maurice Misolowski, business futurist to the stars, live from...